You're in the right place. This is the Not So Weird podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Kata.
We are a father-daughter team that has decided to reconnect by launching this podcast. We provide our listeners with an opportunity to have an authentic human experience. We hope that's not too weird for you. And we also hope that this podcast will be entertaining and fun to listen to, and for you to get to know us better.
We are here to have a good time and be transparent about some things. And we hope that you can relate to any of this on a deep level. And it's also great to spend more time with each other. I actually have really been looking forward to this every week. It's like family time.
Me too, and that's the best time. And we both feel it's important to provide an opportunity not only to reconnect with each other, but also to provide a safe place for others to feel comfortable, that they feel welcomed and accepted in a world that may feel for many increasingly weirder by the minute. We're here to share with you that with love and understanding, it's not so weird after all.
When you are comfortable in just being you, you allow other people to be comfortable with being them. And you being weird is probably what people love about you. And it's what makes you, you.
It's what they love the most.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think we have some shout outs, right?
We do have some shout outs. Thank you to everybody who has been sharing with us such positive feedback about this show. It's a little overwhelming in a way, but we know we're at the start of something really special, especially when we see these. So we encourage you, let us know. You can reach us on the socials. You can send us emails. We'll give you all that information at the end, or you can just go to notsoweird.com, our website, to find out more. But this week, big shout outs go to Helen, Sicily, Sandman, and Zach, the Ultra Runner, for sharing kind words with us about the show in the Book of Faces and other places.
Thank you, Zach. Zach is somebody who I've known for a long time and is just like the biggest encouragement and ultra fan of everyone. Thank you, Zach. You're awesome.
You know, Sandman too is an amazing endurance athlete. He's a streaker. Do you know what that is? A streak? No, it's not someone who runs with their clothes off.
I'm pretty sure I know what a streaker is, but I guess not.
This is someone who runs every single day consecutively without a break.
Oh,
now it's 7 years. Every single day, even when he doesn't feel well, he runs at least a mile. And when you look at his mileage total, it's crazy. And I know running through the last 2 years have been really tough. Consider everything that's been going on. So congratulations to you, Sandman, and your stand. And Helen and Sicily are friends of mine that I met in all of the great stuff I'm doing to raise my presence, expand my reach in social media. Both Helen and Sicily are doing wonderful things. And we'll put links out to you guys and your websites on the show notes. So check those out. You know, we do have show notes. So if you go to the Not So Weird podcast, anything we talk about, generally we'll put some of the links there on the page. And you can enjoy them on your own time. So today's show topic is one that we're really happy to be bringing you. It really is something that we think about and sometimes we don't think about, but bring into our lives almost every day. And that's the concept of courage. Courage. You know, it takes great courage to be friends with your own uniqueness, your own weirdness. Just getting up every day takes courage for some people. I totally get that. So today we're going to lean into this idea of what courage is, which by the definition that you'll find in the dictionary, the ability to do something that you know is difficult, dangerous, or fearful. But it's a lot more than that. All those things are true, right? Difficult, dangerous, fearful. But it's a lot deeper than that. And I think in some ways, there's a spectrum of courage. There's small C and capital C. So when we think of capital C, that's like the courage it takes to run into a burning building to save a parrot or a cat or somebody, right? That crazy ass courage. That's not what we're talking about today. We're really going to focus more on the small C courage, the courage that you bring into your everyday existence. And you'd be surprised at how often it takes to play the courage card, to do the thing that might be difficult, dangerous, or fearful that you have to do with fear. Also, Brené Brown, do you know who she is, Kata?
I do. I haven't really delved into her works, but I've been suggested her works a bunch of times. I know she's a genius about this topic, especially.
Yeah, so she's a really great thinker, author, expert in so many areas of just being a great human, and definitely check out Brené Brown's work. But in her book, I Thought It Was Just Me, she reminds folks that courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is cor, the Latin word for heart. It's in one of its earliest forms, the word meant to speak one's mind by telling one's heart. And in Spanish, corazón, you're probably familiar with that. Mi corazón, right? Courage, right? It's a very interesting word that it comes from the heart. And we're not talking about the pump in your chest. We're talking about from that spiritual chakra center that you feel in your chest. When somebody asks you, who are you? And you say, I'm me. Generally, you point to your chest, right? Your fingers tap on yourself. Oh, it's me, or it's mine. And we refer to ourselves here. That's your heart chakra. And I understand how courage, because that's where this action comes from. You're doing it from the core of yourself. And the word core is an interesting word. So you can check out Renee's work also on YouTube. Just search her. But speaking of YouTube, Kata, you found this really great video on courage that, could you share with us what that was all about?
Of course. So Jia Jiang, he has this video. It's actually a TED Talk. It's called What I Learned from 100 Days of Rejection Therapy. And I think this is probably one of my favorite TED Talks ever. So when you said that we were going to do this episode on courage, I was like, oh yeah, that makes me think of that immediately, because he wanted to take away his fear of rejection. It was like his number one fear. And courage is overcoming fear, or maybe not overcoming, but living with it and doing it anyway. So he actually specifically went out into the world looking for situations in which he was almost positive that people were going to say no. So his first goal was to like go out to burger places and order a burger. And after he was done eating it, he would go back up to the front counter and ask for a burger refill.
A burger refill?
A burger refill.
What's that?
So I guess he just made that up to try to get a free hamburger.
So like a Coke refill, like free Cokes and free burger?
Yeah, exactly. Like a drink refill. Exactly. But a burger refill. So he said that there were people who laughed in his face. There were some people who were really amused, but still said no. So he got the whole gamut of reactions. I don't believe he ever did get a hamburger refill, but that was part of his conditioning to not be so afraid of the worst case scenario, because he learned that the worst case scenario was just like not so bad. And he went on to do many other things after that too. That was just one small example.
I watched the video, I saw it, and it was pretty funny. I think the hamburger refill ended up being a recommendation as a feature that a restaurant might offer versus, we'll consider it, but we'll let you know. But he took that to a donut shop, like Krispy Kreme, I think it was in this case, or it was Dunkin' Donuts. But he walked in and he said, what can I ask of a donut shop? Something that I'm sure they would say no. And he asked for a donut that was made to look like the Olympic rings. So what he wanted to do is buy 5 donuts that were interlinked like the Olympic rings. And he actually drew a picture of it. And he wanted each donut to be a different kind of donut as a symbol of unification and all sorts of things. Obviously, they don't make these. But he was going to ask for it anyways, just to practice this great idea of getting better with rejection. So he walked in there and the manager just happened to be working. And the manager said, let me think, how could we do this? And then the manager spent like the next half an hour figuring this out. And they actually created the Olympic ring donut, as he just wanted to see if it could be done. He didn't care. And he sold it to him. So they quickly, this creator, Xie Zhang, pulled out his phone and he took a picture and he posted this onto Instagram. And apparently it ended up going completely viral. Completely viral. And that opened up the door for him to speak at places like TED Talk and be an expert at rejection and to talk about this idea that comes into mind. Like, a really great way to think about the impact of rejection is to ask the question, what's right? The worst that could happen? Getting really good at accepting to the no. And I know people who are in sales understand this. A no is confirmation that you're closer to the yes, because you know it's going to take so many no's to get to a yes. So one more no just gets you a little closer to the yes. So if you reframe rejection like that, you might get luckier faster. It's like how many at bats a baseball player will eventually hit the home run, right? They'll have their lucky day. The only way to get closer to the home run is to have more at bats. So the only way to get someone to make a wild ass request, a yes, and get through that rejection is just to keep on asking, keep on asking. It's like the squirrel, even a blind squirrel will find a nut. There's an old saying, even a blind squirrel will find a nut. And I was like, what does that mean? It's like, well, if you keep on looking and you just keep on doing it, consistency, keep on doing it, eventually you're going to find it. It might take you a while, so you need to have a lot of patience.
Yeah. I mean, look at him, though. He had 100 days of his life where it was his actual goal to be rejected every day, and the end result was a TED Talk with these amazing experiences.
Yeah, not only a TED Talk, one of the most popular TED Talks ever. And now he's being invited. I saw he spoke at Google for over an hour. And he's a professional keynote speaker talking about the art of rejection. And he's writing a book and he's starting a whole project and helping other sales teams. It's amazing. He found his success through the thing that was the most difficult for him. He turned his pain with a little bit of courage into something that is now helping people around the world, which is just amazing as a metaphor. So Kata, why don't you tell us about some of the courage that you bring into your life every day? What are things that you had to use, you know, that creative, courageous card to get through?
Thanks for asking. I'm really glad you enjoyed the video. That's one of my favorites. But as for courage in my own life, honestly, like it was kind of hard to narrow it down or remember, but probably the biggest courageous thing that I've ever done is start my own business. You know, it was just kind of a leap of faith. And I remember the feeling like it was yesterday. So I'm a massage therapist, and I decided to leave a spa that I worked at in South Tampa and start my own individual practice. But I had not really had a huge plan up until this point. Like, it wasn't something that I had premeditated for a long time. It was just kind of something I decided to do. And yeah, there was a lot to learn. If you are a fellow business owner, you know that taxes are a thing. And that was a whole learning experience. And, you know, just learning how to create a website and have a booking application and all of these things that don't come to your mind when you think about, like, oh, I'm a massage therapist. I think it was very daunting. It would have been easy to tell myself, oh, I don't do those things. I don't know how to do those things. That seems scary. I'm not going to do that. And it became, I think, one of the hardest parts to push through was when I was waiting for my business to pick up in the first year and a half or so. I went from working 50-hour work weeks at a spa downtown to working maybe 2 hours a week. And just believing in yourself through all of that, like, this is a down point, but it's going to change. And I just have to keep going. It took a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of pushing through your own beliefs about what is possible and being willing to change your identity too, from like, oh, I don't know how to do my own taxes, I'm not going to do that, to, well, you know, people out there have done it and I'm a person, so I can do it. I think I needed to change a lot of mindsets that I had about what I was capable of. And spoiler alert, I still have that business. And my business is almost 5 years old, I just realized.
Wow, congratulations. What a great story. I remember when you went through that journey. And one of the things that you mention here is how when you had the job in the spa, which was a really well-established, popular spa where you live, and it was a great job, but you forget that it's more than just providing the therapy. It's all that other stuff, the insurance, the marketing, the promotion, everything, the sales, the taxes, and all that stuff. But you were able to step up and take the courage because you knew to get to the next level, you knew you had to do this for yourself, and you had that confidence piece. And that's the part that is the hardest. So the confidence piece, what's that all about? Well, it's about putting the fear and the questioning aside. It's still there. It doesn't go away. But you were able to change your relationship with the things that block so many people and take that leap into a reality that in the beginning, I remember how afraid you were because the phone wasn't ringing, right? I remember you traded this spa that was on the great corner where they had a steady stream of people. They did all the advertising. Everybody knew who they were. And you went to a new location, which was nowhere near where your old spa was.
Yeah.
And I remember because I saw it, you brought me to it. And it was a nice place, but it really was just like a closet in a house.
It really was.
You don't need a lot of room. It was just a closet.
It was so small.
There was a communal couch when you'd walk into the house. It was like the front room of a house that had been converted to a business. Uh-huh. And everybody who had a closet room could use the couch for their clients. And then there'd be all the business cards for all the business there. And the good thing was, other people were doing similar kinds of services and therapies, and it was a good place, but you didn't know that at the time. So, and the only thing I remember seeing was just your name and just these little black letters on the bottom of a white sign hanging with two hooks of all these other names, like massage my game. Yeah, and it was really, you know, a big jump from then, you know, the spa. Everybody saw the spa. They had lights, you know, they had their own product lines, you know, it was like this whole thing. Everybody knows the spa forever. But now you've moved to a new location. You have a new studio. You have new following. You're expanding your business into yoga. Like you're the stuff. Everybody knows you've got your clients who will follow you anywhere.
Thank you.
Just like your friends, they're your family, they're your tribe.
I do love my clients so much.
Yeah. And how long have you had some of your clients now?
Oh, gosh. So my own business is 5 years old. So some of them I've been working on for upwards to 9 years.
That's right. Because you had them before the job that she even took, and you had some signed clients.
They become family.
They're your family, right? You've known their kids growing up, you know, you've gone through all of the stuff. Now, also, before we get into my stories, I want to talk about another thing that probably took a lot of courage and a lot of, because you faced a lot of uncertainty in 2020 and 2021, as we got through all of the craziness of shutting everything down and you being in a health business, right? Mm-hmm. How did you deal with that? Like, how was that? It probably took a lot of courage to trust that your clients are going to stick with you, but you were impacted.
That's a good question. And I appreciate you for asking it because it was tough. It was very humbling though, because people came from all corners and reached out to support me. So that was really such an incredible experience to have people texting me like, hey, are you okay? Can I buy a gift certificate? Not even knowing when they would be able to use it, if they would be able to use it or when they'd be able to use it. They just, you know, people wanted to help so bad. So on one end, you know, there was a little bit of existential dread, like, am I going to be able to keep being a massage therapist? You know, are people going to have the resources to keep getting massages? Are people going to be okay? I just kept thinking about, you know, everybody else, really. I was really worried for them. But yeah, I just kind of had to keep on keeping on. There was not much else he could do. And I spent a lot of time at home, which was really weird for me. This is going to sound weird out of context, but every day of my life, I'm physically touching somebody else.
That's your job.
Yes, I've got that physical contact with people.
It's physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
It's required.
That felt so weird.
Yeah, so you're isolated now. And,
yes.
And you're just touching your cats. And then you started touching chickens too. I remember you had the chicken thing. Huh?
Yes, I got chickens over quarantine. So yeah, I just delved into a lot of like the hobbies that I really wanted to explore. So I found my own ways to enjoy quarantine. But from like a business standpoint, I just really had to, kind of like how you mentioned in our first podcast that we recorded, I just had to keep taking it day by day. And even though I couldn't see the future, like you mentioned the metaphor of driving the car at night, how you can't see where you're going, but you know you're going to get there. I just kind of had to keep it going day by day. And I was so surprised by that outpouring of love. And I was very lucky to not have employees. That sounds stressful as hell. But yeah, I made it out. And I guess that did take a bit of courage too. I had never thought about it that way.
Now, do you think that some of your clients needed a little bit of courage to get back into the routine of getting a massage? How did that all work when people started coming back to you? Is that weird?
Oh yeah, people still do. They still need lots of compassion and gentleness because people were afraid. But you know, you just meet everybody where they're at. And you do your best to make sure to communicate, make people feel comfortable. But yeah, people were really afraid to come back to do daily life things. And I think there ended up being a point where they were like, okay, I've got to be courageous because my body's falling apart. I need some help.
I need the therapy. It's yeah. Worth the risk.
They were quite courageous as well.
It's courage all the way around with you, but the risk is worth the benefit. Should I do this or shouldn't I do it? I'm going to do it. And I've been doing a lot of that with everything that I've been doing, putting myself out there on all the social media channels.
Absolutely.
I totally get that, especially from where I am. Trust me, I have the same kind of conversations in my head. It might not be as obvious because I'm a self-starter and I put myself out there, but I go through that the same. It's like, nobody really cares. But everybody does care.
Everyone cares.
And people need you more than you know. Like Kata, your clients were doing everything. I can just share with you something that we did. So here locally, I live in San Diego and really, but not in the center part of San Diego, in the edge up near the mountains, which is a beautiful place to live. But one of the things that we have around us, and it's a thing we have in California, is really great wineries and breweries, just these little places where you can go for, take a day trip, go out and visit and taste. Well, in my little area, it's not wine, it's cider. It's the alcoholic carbonated apple cider that is so delicious. And the town that's nearest is Julian, and Julian Hard Cider is this company that's just, we've supported them forever. And when they had to shut down operations and you'd have to go there to get the cider, they had some limited distribution in shops around us. But for the most part, where they made their money were on the weekend travelers at this great big bar and a tasting room. And a guy would come out and make hamburgers and food and tacos and all this kind of stuff. It was such a wonderful experience. We would go there every other weekend, sometimes every weekend, sometimes twice a week.
That sounds so nice.
It's so good. So when everything shut down, the very first thing I did was I bought a case from Julian Cider. I bought a case. It's a case of big bottles. They're like wine bottle size and they have the rubber stopper in. It's just a really nice. And so I bought the case and the guy came and drove it down the hill and he delivered it in front of the house. And they were so thankful because the cases kept them open. And I think I ended up buying like 3 or 4 cases through the whole period. And as a thank you, when things started to open up again, they sent me an empty bottle with a tag on it. And they're like, when you show up, bring us this bottle and we'll fill it for you.
Stop. That's so cool.
Yeah. Like whatever you want. And it's blue glass, not like their regular white glass. It's like a glass you're going to keep. So it's like one of my precious bottles. I can go in there. They'll fill it for me. We still buy it because we want to support them. But still, it was such a nice gesture.
Yeah, you're a preferred customer.
They put a t-shirt in the case. They would put extra bottles. I got to try stuff. Like, I'm family to them because I helped them through it, period. I didn't have to do that. I wanted to do that. I wanted that. I don't want them to go away. It was one of these precious places. And so it's really important to support your local economy that way. And it takes a lot of courage for these small businesses in the world of Amazon, where you can have anything delivered to your front door. They provide such a wonderful experience that mm-hmm. it's worth it to go out of your way to help them. And they really needed us. And also, not only were we supporting the cider place, which it's hard to, you got to drive these windy roads and then you drink a couple ciders. Like, oh my God, I got to drive back. I got to eat something. So there was a guy that had a grill right in front of the cider place that made these hamburgers that were so good. And nobody was coming. So we would go just to buy his hamburgers. And then we became addicted to them. It's like, oh, I need my hamburger.
Get back there.
Yeah, the guy was, when I said we could go any place, but we'd choose to come here because we know how hard it is and we really want to support you and we don't want to see you go away. Mm-hmm. The guy was cried. You know? Oh, he was cried. And he made me the most delicious hamburger I think I've ever had.
It was made with love.
Yeah. And we had to sit in our car and, you know, we had the masks on. It was just like, yeah, at that point, you couldn't sit at the tables. They were all shut down, but he was still making the burgers. So you'd have to eat them in your car. But it's like, hey, I got my bottle of cider. I got my hamburger. And it took courage for us to even go out.
Right. Courage on both ends.
But it was just like, how bad can it be? And it's worth the risk in a way. And it was a tough time, but it's taken courage by everyone to get back to reality. So we applaud you if you're listening.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, oh my God, we get it. Courage is hard because you have to face what you fear, what's difficult, what you know is not going to go quickly, and you just step in, you do it anyway.
Yeah, and you usually have to change some aspect about yourself in order to be courageous. So it's a commendable thing, for sure.
Yeah, I could talk about a story that took some courage for me. And that's for those of you who know me. If you don't know me, I have a great passion for all things Mexico. And estudio español en mi tiempo libre. I study Spanish on my free time. I engage in conversations as much as I can. And I make errors all the time. Sometimes I say the exact opposite thing of what I mean, but they kind of get what I'm trying to say.
Like when?
It takes a lot of courage. And that's what I'm going to talk about right now. So also traveling in Mexico, you know, Mexico is a pretty energetic place. And while the media makes it out to be a lot worse than it actually is, it is a crazy place sometimes. And you got to be really careful when you travel, just like anywhere. If you were going to Brooklyn in New York, which is, you know, from New York originally. And so if you go to certain parts of New York City, yeah, you got to be careful anywhere. So every place is like
every place.
You got to keep your lights on. You got to really be aware of your surroundings, situationally aware, they say. So anyhow, I started traveling again last year. And so the first time I went back into Mexico, I think I went earlier. I went to Tijuana a couple of times crossing the border, but that's right in San Diego and you could do a day trip. And I either get my prescriptions refilled because the medicines are so much cheaper, or just go to get things that I use to cook, like spices and things you can only get in Mexico. I bring them back over the border. So I went a few times and that took some courage just to cross the border again. Oh. But once I realized that was possible, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a trip to Mexico City. I haven't been there for now 2 years and I used to go there every 3 months and I just love Mexico City. So in August, I went and I traveled alone on my own. And this was the first time. I always went with my wife, and my wife is from Mexico City, so she would be my interpreter. And I've been studying for now, you know, through the pandemic, I had a lot of time to study, but pretty much 3-4 years now, I'm fairly fluent enough that I can get by and get in there and understand what's going on around me. I'm not an expert by any means, but I can hold my own. So I was like, okay, I'll do this. I was terrified because
I bet.
The rate of speed of language goes by so quickly. And they speak also with idioms, with phrases, and sometimes nicknames. You're not sure if they're talking about a store or someone's name, or they have funny names for things. You don't know if that was a verb or a noun or an adjective because there's so much you don't know. But still, your instincts still work because you don't recognize the word. If you've been studying a language for 4 or 5 years, you kind of know which ones are the words. At least you've seen most of the words that are spoken at least once. So if a weird word comes in that you've never heard before, like juchi, or like I'm trying to think of a word in English that would be a weird word, like boogers.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh my God, like there's all these weird little words that you only hear in the region, the localized region. So that was the first part. But the second one was, I went 2 times. I went in August and I went in November on my own. And I went in November. I took it one level higher. When I got to Mexico City, I decided I wanted to go to a different city. And I took a bus ride, like a totally local bus, got on the bus, and I took 90 minutes away. There's another city, a historic city called Puebla, which is famous for the battle on the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. And
Historically
important, but also it's, I would say, the Catholic capital of Mexico. There's more churches in Puebla than there are days of the year. It's just every corner. There might be 4 churches, one on each corner, and they're beautiful, the artwork and the architecture. So the Vatican put a lot of money in developing the city, and it's just gorgeous, kind of like the Vatican City of Mexico. One of them very beautiful places in Latin America to see that kind of thing. So I wanted to see it. And also the food there was amazing.
Oh, sure,
and
it was.
You know, and there's museums and culture. A lot of it's closed or limited, but still I wanted to see it for myself. So it took taking a bus, and I didn't fly there. I didn't take an Uber there. I went to the bus station, and that was fun, trying to figure out which window to go to. I went to about 3 different windows because I didn't realize that if you have a passport or a visa to be there, you just can't buy a bus ticket. They want to keep a trace on foreigners. So you have to buy it from a foreigner's window. And I didn't realize what they were trying to tell me, but mm-hmm. I'm like, why can't I buy a ticket? And the funny thing was, it's a big rotunda, a big circular place with lots of people, like a bus station, people going in and out, but the windows go all the way around. And I probably walked around 2 or 3 times this big wheel of a building. Then finally I went to the same place I started. I'm like, I can't find it. And he walked me across, and it was this little teeny person sitting at a desk. There's no sign, no nothing. But I just didn't know well enough that that's where they were talking about. And it was easy to miss. So finally, I get my ticket and I get to the right place. I get on the bus and I get all the way to Puebla. And I get off the bus and I realize I'm not in the center of town. I'm on the edge of town. And so I have to find out, okay, where's the taxi to begin with? And I figure out where the taxi is, which was on the other side of the bus station. And I finally get myself to Puebla, and I'm carrying my bag. So I've got a backpack with all my stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, you know, nobody's speaking English here. It's just, this is really, you're in kind of the deep of it.
You're immersed.
This is not a touristy area. Puebla is, but where I was in the bus station. And so I get the taxi. I finally get to my place. And when they drop me off on the taxi, I realize the number on the buildings do not match the number of the Airbnb that I'm looking for. I'm on the right street, but the number that I'm looking for is missing. And I'm walking up and down this street, and this was not the nicest side of town. It wasn't like the touristy center. I'm like, my.
Were you pooping your pantalones?
And then it started to rain a little bit. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sitting out here in the rain, and I'm trying to ask people in Spanish. I saw someone working on a house, and I go up and I, He's like, oh my God, I don't even know what you're saying to me. I'm trying to speak this terrible Spanish. And because I'm like, where's this number? And they're like,
I'm just imagining you in the rain. Where's my Airbnb?
I'm like, oh my God, I've got $1,000 phone in my pocket. I've got this camera. And I see a guy walking down the street on the other side. So I walk and the guy follows me. And then across the street, he crosses the street. Like he's on me. And I'm like, oh my God, here you go. I'm going to get right here. I'm in the bad side of town. I made some kind of mistake, but I'm like, I know enough Spanish to say this is the right street and this is the wrong place, right? So this guy comes up to me and this guy looks like he's been sleeping on a street corner. He's a little dirty, a little disheveled, and he's smaller than me, but you never want to question somebody. And I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. I'm just trying to find some place. I'm okay. Everything, todo bien. I'm like, okay. He's like, no. No soy un ladrón. And he's like, I'm not a thief.
Oh, he said that.
Yeah. He's like, wow. I'm not a thief. He's like, clearly I see you think that I'm a thief. It's like, no, he's like, you look lost is what he said.
Oh.
Like, can I help you? Actually, I noticed that your mask is wet. Can I sell you a mask? And he pulls out these masks that somebody had made, but these little cloth masks. And so I bought a mask from the guy. And then I start talking to him. And I find out in my broken Spanish that in this city is so old that they have this weird system where I was on the right street, but they have two sides to the street and it's split across the town. So the even numbers are on one side of the town and the odd numbers are on the other. So it's not like it goes like a normal 100, 200, 300. You know, each block is the 100s, 200s, 300s. No, it's split. So the evens are on one side. So one block is 102, 104, 106. And then there's the center of town. And then on the other side, it's 101, 103, and 107.
Oh, that's tough.
And I was on the odd side of town, the left side, and I wanted to be on the even side, the right side. And so I was 12 blocks away from where I was supposed to be, but I had no idea. I just thought like, oh yeah, I want to be on the 100 block of the street. And I was completely in the wrong place. And I was in a pretty bad place. And the guy was coming to help me because he said, yeah, you don't want to be here. You want to go the other way. And I was like, oh my goodness. But that took a lot of courage. I saw, okay, this is just going to be a really sad story. And it wasn't. It ended up being quite a nice story. And, you know,
right?
The mask from the guy and thanked him. And I walked all that way through the rain, but at least I knew it was in the right direction. And when I got to the other side, I had no idea that they had split the streets like this. And then it helped me through the rest of my trip because I realized that there were two sides to everything. And a lot of people get lost in this city because it's a historic city that they don't realize that you have to ask. And so that took a lot of courage and I made it, but I was glad to leave Puebla after that.
It took courage for you to just be there in the first place, but it also took courage for this stranger to approach you and be like, hey, I know I look like a thief, but really, I just want to help you.
Yeah, exactly. And he didn't speak English. So I'm trying to figure that out in my head. And meanwhile, I'm just thinking, get out of here. You're in trouble. So, and then your brain stops thinking in Spanish and you're like, just like run is what my brain said. Like, it's either run or fight. And then I was like, oh, I can't run. I'm bigger than this guy. Like, I know how to fight, right? I'm like, I don't want to fight. I don't like fighting, but I know how to fight.
And then he opens up a trench coat full of adorable face masks.
Yeah, that's, they were like pink and blue and their little face.
Cute.
And stuff like that. I just bought a little simple black face mask and went on my way. But it was quite an experience. And, you know, and I learned. And I can't wait to go back to Puebla. It's a beautiful city.
And now you're going to know the numbers.
I probably wasn't in that much danger, really. It was the middle of the day. I mean, there's certain times of day, too, that I wouldn't recommend going anywhere. But it was just one of those moments where it was very uncomfortable and inconvenient, but I kept leaning into it, using the courage to just say, there's got to be a way to get out of this. And when I got to my Airbnb, though, I just shut the door And that was it. I was done. And then, you know, I went out the next day and it was all fine. So that's my story.
That's a great story.
It takes courage. And I'm going through that right now because I spent yesterday, I was talking about this with Kata before we started recording, but I spent most of yesterday constructing a weight rack in my garage. We're converting part of my garage into a gym because it's taken a lot of courage to realize how out of shape I am. And I have to tell you, I'm still recovering. I'm just putting together the exercise equipment because it was so complicated. But it's taken me a lot of courage to realize how I really need to start moving again. A lot of people who listen to the show have been fans of my other podcasts, and they put out a podcast called The Slow Runners Club, and I was very involved in the running community. I finished 4 marathons. My daughter, Cassidy, who you met last week, is an ultra runner. So I identify as a runner, even though I'm not running anymore. One of the reasons why that is I have an injury, and it's more than an injury. It's just a deformity that I've discovered in my leg because of an accident that I had several years ago. I broke my leg, and the way it's healed is not perfect. And the only way to fix that is with some pretty severe surgery. And at my age, the osteopath said, well, you could have the surgery or you could not run. If you could just be careful and not slam your leg, it probably won't re-break. But if you keep running, one day it's just going to snap because I have these fractures that just don't heal right and all of this stuff. And the surgery would be pretty significant because they break your leg and then they'd have to regrow the bone. And at my age, I would be off my feet for several months. And he's like,
that's just a lot.
We could find someone to do that surgery, but you know, you could also not have it and just take it easy, ride a bike or swim or do something else. You could still even hike, but slamming your leg into the ground, probably not the best thing. So I took that advice, but that meant for me sitting in my chair, sitting on the couch, doing other things. And over time, and then the pandemic happened and I'm just sitting here. And over time, when I look at myself, I'm disappointed. And it took a lot of courage to get to that point where I've got to do something. So what we're doing is converting the gym. And my wife has been doing a great job. Gabby's been out there using it, using the weights that we have. I could go to a gym too, but I prefer just to have it. Like, there's no excuse if it's right there, right? And stop using my injury, fingers up in air quotes, as the excuse not to get something done. Because there are things I can do. I could certainly strengthen the other parts of my body. I can do yoga. I can do stretching. I have a beautiful treadmill. I have a bike. I can use those things. So I'm starting to get back into that. And we'll probably be sharing some of that. I'm not focusing on the weight loss and how much I can lift. That will come. What I really need to focus on is just getting out there and doing it, giving it time.
That takes a lot to admit too, because
yeah,
you know, it's comfortable to fall into those routines, but I think you're off to a good start. I read that in the show notes and I was like, oh, I'm so excited for you. I didn't realize that's like the mental shifts you had been having recently, but I think that's great. I think you're going to feel so much better. And it does take a lot of courage when you have some sort of physical limitation to change the way that you're doing things. It's courageous.
Also, I know this is just, it may sound like an excuse or a stereotype in a way, but I feel like the person I was when I was so active doing all the running and running marathons and going out and doing all of these great events, that was a while ago, a lot longer ago than I really know. And I think I can just get back in that my body has aged a little bit, you know? And it's harder. And as you age, it just becomes more difficult. I'm not using that excuse of age so much, but it hurts a lot more and to repair and recover. And now that I have this limitation with my ankle, which is, you know, like a China cup, I have to be really careful with it because I actually have like gaps, holes, almost like a hole in a tree. That's what's in my bone, and it could break. So I have to be really careful when I walk and when I move that I'm not putting too much pressure on it, because I don't want that to happen, and it won't happen if I respect it. Walking is fine. So I'm going to do a lot of walking and weight training, but not heavy, more like longer will be more helpful and having a lot of patience and understanding, as my body's going to be sore and we can share that. But
you're going to feel so much better.
So to move on with the show, I pulled some quotes. Maybe we can just kind of go through these quotes and maybe I want to see how you respond to them, Kate. We could talk through them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll wrap up and we'll talk about what we're going to be talking about next week, which is really cool. We have a super awesome topic.
This topic has a lot to do with our next topic.
Absolutely.
It sets it right up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun. This week was fun too, but we've had now two very serious gratitude and all the stuff we talked about last week was so amazing. And this week, courage. Now we need something a little lighter. It's going to be
awesome. Yeah. Well, I feel like courage and gratitude are both very vulnerable things to talk about.
Well, courage, the core, it's the heart, right? We're speaking from the heart here.
To admit what you were courageous to do, you have to admit your struggles.
And what you're afraid of.
And what you're afraid of. Those aren't easy things to talk about. So while some people might call it heavy or whatever, but I actually really love talking about those things. I think it's highly relatable. And I'm so glad I know that story now of you in Mexico. I never knew that.
So we'd like to wrap up the show by sharing a few quotes that we pulled. One of the great parts of creating a show like this, we just pick the topic, you do a search on Google, and you'll always get these quotes. And some of them are really good. And these were worth saving. I've got a bunch more. I've got a huge list that I use personally, and I might bring them in future shows. But these are a few that really, really felt like they were written for me. This one especially. Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen.
I love that one.
And listen, that was from Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill.
He was a smart dude.
For me, absolutely. Over the last year, we're going through the process of annual reviews at the company that I work for. I have a regular job and I'm also a director, so I have people who report to me. But one of the things in my personal review that was recognized was that I did a better job this year in doing exactly that, taking the courage to sit down and listen and not always talk. I said, you still talk over people, but you did better this year. Keep going. There's almost like an atom meter on every call. And if that meter is past a certain percentage, it's not good. I should be able to say as little as possible. It's a hard thing for me. I love to talk.
You're bursting with inspiration. You have a lot to share.
How about you? Do you have a quote here that sings to you?
Yeah. So this one is by the author of The Alchemist, which is a great book. Paulo Coelho. He says, it's better to cross the line and suffer the consequences than to just stare at the line for the rest of your life.
I love that. I love that.
It's a good one. I think that it's true. I can think of a couple different instances where I've heard people say this in different words. I've also heard this said in it's easier to ask for forgiveness instead of permission. Actually, I don't know if I really like that either, because that's context dependent. But
I can put it in a way that's a little easier to understand. It's better to cross the line and suffer the consequences than to just stare at the line for the rest of your life. When you go someplace, especially as a tourist, and you're walking down a street that looks kind of interesting, and you decide to make a left turn instead of a right, and then all of a sudden you find someplace and you actually decide to step inside and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I found this place. You would have never have seen that place had you just kept on walking. Every once in a while, we need to take a left turn or a right turn. Mm-hmm. That's going in a different direction than we thought we would go, because you have a new vantage point. And it's really quick. I can't count the kind of cool little places that I found when I'm traveling, especially like, wow, I'm so glad I decided to take this route instead of that route, because I've never known this even existed. And it's taking the courage to change your plans, even in a small way, just a little way, like you're driving some way, you always drive this way. Then you're like, oh, I wonder what's down here. Oh my God, they opened a new X. I love X. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know it was here. That's awesome. How many times have you discovered stuff like that if you go a different way?
I think that courage and change are like BFFs. They have a lot to do with each other. If you're just willing to change the way that you see something, or the habits that you do, or the routine that you have for that day, or your expectations for that day, I think you can find something really cool. Definitely.
That is cool. That is cool. I think the last one I want to share here is a quote that I saw that really resonated with me. You don't need enough courage for the entire journey. You only need courage for a few seconds to overcome the self-doubt before you take the next step. And why that's so important to me is reminding myself it just takes a moment to utilize the courage, because once you've stepped, that's it. You're in it. You're doing it. And you don't need the courage again. You can charge that battery. It's not like every moment of every day is another battle, right? There's, you shared with me this really great cartoon of a person up against like a rock wall. But then when you zoom out, you realize that it's just a little wall, and then there's a flat spot, and then there's a little slope, and then there's another one. But if we step back a little bit, you realize that it's not a steep wall forever, that sometimes it flattens out if you look like the profile of an ascent. And sometimes you can only see the steep wall from where you are, so you think the whole thing is going to be like that. Yesterday, I had one of those days, and now today, it's a gentle slope again to get to where I want to be. But it's really understanding that the courage you need usually only takes a few seconds. And just get through it, jump in, and then see where you are. You can always jump back. If it's like, oh, no, that's not my kind of place. Not for me.
Ain't that the truth, though?
Now you know.
We spend so much time premeditating and thinking about stuff that like requires courage and just like dreading it. But the reality of it is it takes probably like such a teeny tiny amount of our life to actually do the thing.
It's like 80-20, 80% thinking about it and 20% actually doing it. And once you do it, you're like, wow, why did I wait so long to do this? This is great. I wish I knew sooner. So get out there. I hope everyone listening will take the courage to leave us some feedback.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping up the show now. I just want to talk a little about what we hinted at earlier, which is our topic for next week. And if you want to reach out to us, this is a great week to do it, because we want to hear how you're doing this. We're going to talk about our topic for next week, and we're going to do a better job at getting the message out there so we have more feedback. We want to bring your messages into the show. If you want us to talk about some, if you have a question for us to unpack, we want to hear from you. What would you like for us to talk about? We've already done 4 shows now and a trailer, so you should kind of know what we talk about. But so send us suggestions. But for next week, it's going to be really fun, because the topic for next week's show is going to be discovery. No, not the discovery, which was the space shuttle that went up. The discovery of how you find the things that really excite you. And I really want to focus more on the process of discovery. You know, there's stuff in this world that really turns you on, that really is like, oh yeah, I love this. This is awesome. I love this. How do we find those things? Who do we talk to? What are the tools that we use? Because I found that I get so excited when I find a new band to listen to, or new music, or a new movie, or a new show, a new game to play, or perhaps it's just a new person, or a new kind of conversation, or a new philosophy or an idea. How do we get there? Where do you find the stuff that really turns you on? Is it from your friends? Is it from your family? Is it from lists? Is it from the internet? Is it from YouTube? Is it from the algorithm? It's changed over time. I grew up in a time where we didn't even have computers, let alone the internet. And how you would define yourself was from the experiences you had. I don't want to go too deep into this, but we're going to take some time next week unpacking how it's changed over the years, and where are the places we go to find the stuff that really turns us on. And what we're finding now, like, that's so surprising, because, wow, I never thought I was a big fan of these things, but now I am. And there's quite a few.
Yeah, look at you. You're on TikTok now.
Yeah, I'm an influencer. Yeah.
Influencer.
I'm cutting major brand deals with makeup companies. It's incredible. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I love it. No, I'm excited about our discovery topic, because I think we're both the kinds of people that are interested in like a bazillion and one things. And we have so many influences. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to talk about how we found inspiration, or how we discovered things like 10 years ago versus how we discover them now. I'm really excited for next week, for sure.
Yeah. And what's funny is, between Kate and I, what we like is very similar because we're so similar in so many ways. So if she finds something that she likes or I find something that I'm excited about, the very first person I share it with is Kata. And same Aww. Thing with her. You know, it's like, oh my God, check this out. And it can be the most random thing though. It's not just one type of thing, right? So it's super cool. And that's how we get to know each other. And we want you to also to understand that. So hopefully you're doing that same kind of thing of sharing the things that you love with the world. Pointing out how the world is so wonderful and weird and random. The weirder sometimes the better. Good weird, you know, not so weird, but weird enough that it is just delightful. Weird so anyways, enough. This leads us, yes, weird enough. This leads us to our calls to action, which are very simple. If you love the show, please consider following us on your favorite podcast. If you've listened this far, we want to know why. Reach out to me at adam@notsoweird.com, Adam or Kata. You can find us on the socials and check us out on Instagram, TikTok, you know, on there. And we just love to hear from you. So that's really just connect to us and then we'll connect you to the world and we'll give you a shout out. We'll give you a shout out.
My personal Instagram is ktinkoff, K-T-I-N-K-O-F-F. So you can always message me with feedback as well if you just want to say anything about the show or if you have suggestions or anything like that.
Thank you so much for staying with us. And we look forward to bringing you this every week. And until next week, we'll be out discovering all the amazing things that there are to share.
Discovery. Thank you. Imagination.
Imagine a world. Imagination.
I do have to say, there have been over 3 times during this recording that I've thought about SpongeBob. Just going to throw that in there.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah. If you ever wonder what's going on in my brain, it's usually SpongeBob. At any given point.
Better than Squidward.
That's true. Anyway, goodbye, peeps. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adios. Hasta luego.
Muchachos.